copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
I think we'll just start here.
Not an SMS. Text me and I'll text you back. Check me on the iChat. I'm all about that HTTP or a PC. I'm on Mac. I want it. MySpace and your space. Facebook is a new place. Dip diving, socializing. I'll be out in cyberspace. Google is my professor. Wikipedia checker. Checking my account. Logging in and logging.
Now, who is the real group behind this song? Do you know that? We are the Now Generation. You know, they sing it in more a deep voice. The Black Eyed Peas? But don't worry if you don't know that. The main thing is actually that you recall that young people, tweens, they imitate what artists, groups, what they are actually up to. Tweens. Who are tweens? Lars said that I have been working with young people for quite some time. And it's not until the last couple of years that I've really started digging into the younger ones, the 8 to 12 year olds. When I wanted to just give this tiny little glimpse of a YouTube video with people in our actually main target group, the tweens, imitating a song that's absolutely not aimed towards them, but really talking about them, I think it's a wonderful illustration of the key issue here. What is at stake? The media-saturated world of the tweens. And what about the different values, the view of identity, the what should I trust in that's actually there? In the notes, it says, introduction, tweens, the concept, category, and cultural context. I'm too old for toys, I'm too young for boys, I'm just between. That's a quote from a film produced in 1938. I'm too old for toys, I'm too young for boys, I'm just between. In around 2000 or late 1990s or even in the 80s, marketers started wondering about this division between small kids, teenagers, and looking upon them as a vital group for buying. And one of these professors watched the film and said, "That's it. Let's coin a new group of young people and call them tweens. They are between younger kids and the teenagers." In Norwegian, we didn't have that concept until 2002. I don't know about your languages. For how long time have you talked about tweens? What about in the eastern part of Europe?
Just teenagers.
So you still haven't got the tween concept into the language, but you have them. They all are all over.
Children and teenagers, that's all.
Exactly. Mm-mm. But that just tells me how important it is that we dig into this particular area as people who want to share the gospel with the growing generations and as people working with the media. And really, I want to use the group 8 to 12 when I refer to the tweens, 8 to 12 year old. Some people will say 7 to 15, but when I say 8 to 12, it makes it easier to say 8 to 10, they are the small tweens. They are more childish. 10 to 12 are the older tweens. They are nearly there, getting there, the tweens, or the teens, as you say it. And I really feel that what's going on in those vital years is actually the fastest changing, thinking of their psychology, the biology, that actually takes place in the whole life after birth. The context is dramatically different from any other generation, but we have all been there between 8 and 12, haven't we? But the context was so different. We just zoom in Peter Berger and Thomas Luckman, who really points out, they are sociologists, and they point out the dialectic relationship between what's going on in our individual life and what's going on in society. If we have that in the back of our heads, and also thinking of what John Sandbrook, a psychologist, says, he says this, adolescence begins in biology and ends in culture. Then it dawns upon us, doesn't it, how vital it is to listen to what's going on in the media-saturated world of the tweens, and what's going on within them psychologically, biologically, and what's actually happening to them. And when they ask these vital questions, who am I? Who am I? How do I want to live my life? What is important? What's in it for me? All these deep, deep questions. Rewinding quite quickly, that helps you to remember how the word tween came into being. A professor in the 1890s watched the film and realized, that's it. I want to use that in between as tween when working towards this age group as the big buyers. And really, in 2014, the elite of buyers in the Western world are tweens. An area of childhood distinct from childhood or adolescence, but in between and therefore prime for marketing. I don't like it. You don't like it. The word immediately refers to buying stuff. But these young people imitating black-eyed peas, I want money. A market-driven society. 8 to 12 years old, that is how I find is the most equivalent phase, but you may say 7 to 15 if you don't agree fully with me. Anyway, it's a very, very particular time in life where the media plays a vital role in the context, and it's the time of life where the psychologically, biologically, in all different ways, really, things are changing in these wonderful boys and girls as fast as never before after birth. And they are the people we want to reach with the gospel. We want them to grow as mature Christians, those who have been with us in our homes, in our churches, since they were infants. And we want to reach out to those who haven't heard of Jesus. And in order to do that, we have to take into consideration what's going on in the media world. We have to listen to the messages, try to figure out what do they gain from these stories to help them in answering their question of who am I, how do I want to live my life, what's worth listening to, what's worth believing in, and so on. And of course, after the coffee break, we will dig into social media and the whole area of the internet and all the rest of it. It's all there. And as I quoted this Sandbrook, the psychologist, he says that adolescence begins in biology and ends in culture. Now, I remember when I first dug into the tweens, I realized that tweens, that was something that my grandfather had never been. He got confirmed at the age of 14 and went straight from being a child to being a grown-up. They're wearing knickers and then, after confirmation, long trousers. And that has been the same in all of our cultures. And then with culture changing, teens came into being. And now, changing even more, tweens have come into being. And media being the main reason for that. We still have blackboards in our schools, don't we? And we still ask this fundamental question, who am I? It used to be a thinking along the line that the teenage, say 13, 14, 15, 16 upwards, was the key time of life where you actually form the identity, ask these fundamental questions, and this question in particular, who am I, searching for meaning, finding your place in life, and so on. Researchers say, no, that's too late. We have to go further down in age, to the 8 to 12 year olds, where this question is so important. And of course, you know as well as I do that also biologically things are changing in the Western world. We can have mums by the age of 12, no problem, from the biological point of view, that is. And researchers really wonder what happens when the body becomes mature earlier, due to all the input from the media, the intellectual level is rising. We have never had a childhood, a phase of tweens, 8 to 12 years, that has had so much knowledge about so many different things. I'm not saying that there is a deep wisdom there, but they know a lot about a wide range of topics. But do they link the knowledge together to get wisdom? That's another question. But really, they wonder, these researchers, what is actually taking place here? The status of the emotional and social development on the one hand, and what's going on with the body in the other hand, on the other hand, and also our thinking. As a woman, I feel so sorry for all the girls who run into deep, challenging situations at such a low age. A 10-year-old now faces quite a few of the same deep questions concerning her body, sexuality, her looks, as a 15-year-old did just a generation ago. And you men, you should feel sorry for your tween boys, because it's about to be exactly the same situation for them. We have to reach out for them. And what then if the emotional and social development isn't in line with the rest? Underneath the question about who am I, underneath all the other changes that take place in these vital years, is the question of worldview. A person's worldview is primarily shaped and is firmly in place by the time someone reaches the age of 13. It's refined through experience during the teen and early adult years. If we just move a few years back in time, researchers, pastors, parents, teachers would say, oh no, it's not until way up in the teen years that identity and worldview questions fall into place. That's not the case any longer, due to changing in the culture, first and foremost. Some researchers even say that by the age of six, so many core values are in place that it's hard to change them. What an encouragement to us in working with the kids, but what a challenge to us when working with the 8 to 12 year olds that we want to treat as kids, but they are actually way behind in some areas of life and still kids in other areas of life. So the Barna Group do a lot of very, very good work with youth culture, kids and tweens, and we should listen to them. We should listen to them and learn from them. Because we are into mission, aren't we? We are into mission. And Timothy Tennant, he has a good way of explaining what mission is all about, saying here, it is as it heart about bridging cultures, crossing frontiers, and celebrating the marvelous translatability of the gospel of Jesus Christ in an increasingly global context. Where kids are getting older, younger. You have this, it's so hard to say in English, K-J-O-Y, kids getting older, younger. And we could have spent a week just digging into that concept. But we are to reach out to these kids who are getting older, younger, dealing with their worldview, raising a new generation of Christian, mature people. And that is mission. We bridge a culture in reaching the tweens culture. We actually celebrate the marvelous translatability of the gospel of Jesus Christ in translating it to reach the world of the tweens. Translate it. Be true to what it's all about, but translating it so that it's actually grasped and understood by the tweens. And of course, we translate the gospel of Jesus Christ in a global tween context. That's why we can easily refer to the same films, television series, artists, MTV, so on, because it's a global context. It's such an opportunity for us to be of help for each other. And it's such an opportunity for us to be of help for people who live in other parts of the world, not in Europe. Lots of things are going on. I grew up with a 1040 window. Anyone else growing up listening to the challenges from the 1040 window? Yes. That was a way of mapping out the geography. Where are the unreached people? Now, and please, if you haven't dug into this 414 window and 414 initiative, it's not too late. We have to be there. By the 82,000 and beyond, there was a conference dealing exactly with this age group. Why? Because globally, most people are, one third actually, of the population is under the age of 15. So we are not ignoring the 1040 window, but we are thinking demographically about what is the age group that really need our attention, and that is the 414. Actually, nearly a 50% of the population in some parts of Africa and Asia are under the age of 15. And globally, a third is under that age. That is a challenge to you and to me. A second reason for the 414 initiative is, as we've already touched on, what's going on in these vital years regarding worldview development, the quest of identity and worldview. The missiologist Brian Mayers, who actually is one of the pioneers behind the 414 initiative, says, in 1990, 85% of the adult Christians in the US had come to faith while being between 4 and 14 years old. So they did a survey among adult Christians in the US and found that so many, 85% of them, had committed, said yes to Jesus before the age of 14. And of course, the third reason for this vital initiative is that it's a global challenge. It's getting so much alike all over the world. And what do we do? Oh, spooky business. We want to reach these people. We want to rescue them. We want to root them and release them for service, for life. And honestly, in order for us to actually do that, we need to listen to what's going on in the media. Only then can we reach, rescue, root, and release the next generation, the tweens. Walt Muller, maybe one of his books is here on sale, Engaging the Soul of Youth Culture. It's a very good one. Have a look out for it. Get to know the media and you get to know them. Of course, that's pinpointing it. It's not that easy, but it helps. And if we don't try to get to know the media, we'll definitely not get to know them. Because they live in a media scape, and it's a global media scape. Da 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 da, you know it? Da 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 da. No, no. I'll calm down, Lars, I'll calm down. But that was on the video. One Direction, why do I, out of the blue, come with this wonderful boy band to illustrate that the context of the media scape is global. And just a year ago, I had given a talk to youngsters in the capital of Norway that's called Oslo, yes. And in the neighborhood, in Kristiansand, where we live. And then 2 weeks later, I found myself in Arequipa, Peru, addressing theological students. And I did something, yeah, Lars approved, so I thought it's okay. So I just started like that. Let's go crazy, crazy, crazy. And most of the students joined in with me. They knew this song. They knew all about One Direction, showing me what I thought was true, but I hadn't experienced it, that One Direction and Justin Bieber and all the other hits, they are global, they are all over. Of course, the president of theological seminary was a bit, what, are these my students? Do they know these things? Morgan, do you know these things? And then he said, of course, that's why I brought you here. We need this. We need this in our theological seminaries. We need this when addressing youth workers. We need it in our ministry to know what's going on. And of course, there are lots of things to relate to here and say, yes, good, wonderful, of course, enjoy life. But there are also quite a few points of tension when we want to help them to grow as Christians and to reach out to them. Maybe you're familiar with David Howell. If not, this will definitely, anyway, give meaning to you. Because as David Howell points out, in a culture that is so postmodern in many parts of the world, so geared towards the individual, the way we develop our worldview, and especially the younger people develop their worldview, is starting with me. And then it's the peer group, the friends. Then relating to the world outside, may not be the world very far from their neighborhood or their city, but still it's beyond the circle of the close friends, and then the real beyond, the divine. And those circles, those questions, actually also puts a mark on how they relate to religion. And that is an interesting way of trying to figure out how are the young people in our congregation developing their Christian worldview? What is so important for themselves? What's in it for them? How do their friends react to what's going on in the Sunday school, in the youth group, and so on? Is the message becoming a part of them? Is it of interest? Is it relevant? And so on. So we are in a situation where we are not at all alone in trying to deliver from the Bible material for the personal worldview development. Of course we are not. We have never been. My parents were not alone on the scene, even though they would really, really work, I was about to say hard, back home to give me a Christian upbringing. And I went to church, but of course there were things going on outside church. I went to school, having a wonderful Christian teacher, but a lot of things went on around me, but can't be compared to what's going on nowadays. So if a teacher is not aware of Justin Bieber, for instance, if a youth pastor is not aware of what's going on in Lady Gaga, what's going on in the life of P, I'm not saying that you have to know exactly that artist and that film, but the values that are underpinning the messages that Lady Gaga comes out with and the films portray, we need to listen to it and connect to it. And of course, back home, the families or the media stuff, we have to relate to it. I'm so glad that now there is a network on marriage and family here at ELF. But I spoke to them on the Friday night and asking, what are you actually doing regarding media, the media awareness, the need for media literacy, helping and equipping Christian parents to help themselves and their children in order to evaluate what's going on, even in Disney films? Well, we have one chapter in the book, The House on the Freeway, I think that's the title. One chapter. But obviously, we need to dig more into that. We are the ones who should dig into that, aren't we? In one way or another, helping Christian families, helping people in our churches, the pastors, and helping ourselves to figure out what's going on in these stories and how does that relate to the Christian worldview. For instance, just a tiny little illustration here. A gang of 14-year-olds in the church getting to know more about who is Jesus. Jesus' love for us, dying on the cross, the resurrection. And then they have ringing in their ears what Lady Gaga said in Oslo Spectrum just a few weeks earlier, when she, on stage, prayed to Jesus, thanking Jesus for being all about love, and thanking Jesus not for making any distinctions between people, whether they live like that or that, believe like that, because you are all about love, Jesus. And you were first, and now it's me. Please don't misunderstand me. I don't mean to say that every pastor needs to know exactly what Lady Gaga is saying. But every pastor should know the underpinning relativism, subjectivism that's going on in a lot of the messages from Lady Gaga and from films, from other different artists and so on. The Life of Pi, did you watch that movie?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Such a moving movie. Wonderful. The aesthetical part, emotional part, just wonderful. But how many do actually walk out from the cinema realizing that, wow, I can be a Jew, I can be a Christian, I can be a Muslim. No problem. It works out well for me. If we in our tween groups have the courage to address that and evaluate that with the Bible in hand, we help the tweens in growing in their Christian worldview. So these stories, they are not in neutral. These stories are all over, not just all over Europe, but all over the world. And of course, in the social media, we're not going into that now due to the fact that that will be in focus after the coffee break. But it makes a difference, because none of these stories are neutral. It's wonderful to quote an atheist and say, yes, I fully agree with you, Philip Pullman. I fully agree with you. You are an atheist. You know exactly why you are writing what you're writing. You would like to portray belief in God as something totally stupid. But you're right. No one can write a story without portraying certain values, a worldview. So we are taught the morality to live by much more effectively than moral precepts and instructions. And if we in our work through the media, the Christian media, and our work directly with tweens don't relate to this, I'm afraid we don't help them to grow, we don't rescue them, we don't root them. Because the media gives us the almost real. And I'd love to have time to go more into the intellectual and emotional development in these vital years between 8 and 12. We briefly touched upon it because we don't have time. But we should never, ever think that since they are digital natives, you know, they don't know of any world without all these smartphones and films and the different media outlets. They don't know of any other situation. So we can easily fool ourselves, say they are digital natives, they know how to evaluate, to say this is real, this is just fiction, this is good, this is bad. That, I'm sorry to say, is a way of fooling ourselves. I needed to learn the Norwegian language, even though I'm a native Norwegian. It's as simple as that. You need to learn how to decode and how to evaluate all these visual images, all the media messages, just as well as you need to evaluate and come to grips with your native tongue. It doesn't come automatically. We call them generation.com, it's global. We call them digital natives, oh yes, for a reason we do so, but we need to walk alongside them, and we need to learn also ourselves, don't we? I'm a constant student in this area. And the reason why Justin Bieber and Walt Disney films as Hannah Montana has been pointed out as being especially strong in making an influence on younger people is that it's quite easy for them to identify. Justin Bieber, one of us. I remember when he first got famous, I wrote a short piece in one of the newspapers back home in Norway about Justin Bieber being the first one getting famous due to YouTube. You know, filmed in his bathroom. Well, he was not bathing, but it was okay, light and the rest of it there. You see what I mean? If he can get famous, I can. He's one of us. And of course, the whole film, Believe, tried to show him as one of us. And Hannah Montana, very easy for young people to relate, even though they don't live in the same situation, there is so much that they can recall from their own life. So the closer you come to real life, the more open one is towards being influenced, of course. And I'm so pleased to say that in this sociology area in the Nordic countries, at last some of the key people wake up. I'm so sorry, but I want to say, at last, welcome, welcome to the club. Because as Christians, we have seen this for a very long time, haven't we? We haven't been worried about it, and we want to relate to it and make it possible to stay on as a Christian in this environment. Mia Löwheim says, without question, the media plays an important role when it comes to religious socialization in our culture. Sorry about the misspelling there. But they are coming. They are coming. But where are we then? I work in as an associate professor at a university college. I realize I have to be more eager to be out there with what we have been doing and working with to make an influence also in the academy so that it can make a difference in how they view tweens. But more is said than what is spoken. There's a quote from David Porter, who God took back home far too early, from my perspective. A dear friend working with soap operas way before any other Christian pastor in the UK had thought of the importance. More is said than what is spoken. And when we talk about the tweens media world, we have to bear this in mind. What do they actually get of messages? What sort of stories? We mentioned that briefly. But what messages? Especially these. Having the right image, the right looks, having lots of money, being a number one in certain areas, having the right friends, having an exciting time, having my needs met, not the least sexually, deciding for myself what's true, right, and good, and believing in whatever suits me the most. Sounds familiar? Of course. You know all this. But as for me, I like it when I hear a speaker sharing something that is echoing my own experience from my home, from my ministry, so that we can help each other. These messages are underpinning so many stories in the media world of the tweens. And how does that influence them? The Cape Town Commitment, Lausanne 2010, says the media can be neutral and sometimes gospel-friendly. They mean neutral to the gospel, and even gospel-friendly. But they are also used for pornography, violence, and greed. We encourage pastors and churches to face these issues openly and to provide teaching and guidance for believers in resisting such pressures and temptations. First time ever that this is spoken out so directly. And of course, we could have spent hours just digging into the question of violence, pornography, and greed in the different stories that surround our tweens. We have to make sure that we don't ignore it. And this iceberg of mine is just a way of visualizing how we, in different stories, realize what's going on. We listen to what people talk about. We realize what actions they take, how they live. And out from that, we can actually depict values that are important to them. Say in Gossip Girl, for instance, or Girls, that is very popular. Girls, the series Girls. very popular among young men, boys, I would say. What values do they cherish? View of humanity, view of reality, and view of faith as anchoring search for meaning and trust. I just put these four in your outline, but to me it helps a lot having this iceberg as an illustration, because when I listen to a song, when I watch an MTV or a film or a tiny little clip on YouTube, whatever I relate to in the media, I first meet what's going on there, what's being said, what is being done, and out from that we can actually pinpoint values, view of humanity, view of reality, and view of faith. That is a source of a source for developing your own personal worldview, because no story is actually neutral. And when we do that, as I have been doing in a bit of my research, I find the same as you would find, or the same as you have found if you have dug into this. Traces of relativism, subjectivism, individualism, hedonism, Eastern or New Age, pantheism, secular humanism, naturalism, existentialism, ism, ism, ism. But what's the main thing here? I think it's the first, the relativism. You pick out what is okay with you, what suits you the best, what gives you what you feel like needing. And if that is the case for a 54-year-old, it's absolutely the case for a 9-year-old who is in a phase of life, in a stage of life where the worldview is really, really trying to, it's about to develop. You may have this later if you would like. Do I see there are some phones up here? That's lovely. That's my trick as well. But you can have it. But as we move on and have time for questions, we are trying to build a bridge, aren't we? That's why I'm actually pinpointing all these traces of worldviews and the values, the messages, because we want to build a bridge from the biblical worldview to what's going on around. And it's quite ironic, I think, in Norway. It may say a bit too much about the thinking of Norwegian parents, but they are quite eager to put in these filters in the personal computers so that the kids can't get into all the stuff that is just a click behind us, you know, porn, violence, and so on. But they haven't realized that 90% of 10-year-olds in Norway have their own smartphone. And what is a smartphone? This is not a smartphone, but what is a smartphone? They get everything there. And it's not a bedroom culture. And now it's a bedroom culture. Well, it's not even a bedroom culture. They don't hide in the bedroom to watch on their own personal computer that has a filter. But they can sit in the midst of a family group and still have whatever in their hand via their smartphone, and the parents don't know. So we need to be aware of what's going on, and of course we should try to build a shelter around them. But that isn't to say that we should also come close to them, talk to them, talk with them, helping them, evaluating, helping them have the courage to say, no, I won't dig into that. As John really, really challenged us this morning, saying, just a click around is your Sodoma. Just a click and you are there. Just think of the tweens then. So I would really encourage us to go into dialogue, sit down with the kids, because they are kids, the tweens are still kids, and help them evaluating what's going on. And of course, Whatever message, whatever media message, emotions are there. We are emotionally stirred, aren't we? Why do I get happy? Why do I get sad? Why is this so interesting to me? Why do I want to watch this? What does it make me feel? These questions regarding emotions, and I've just said point five there, as you can see, key questions related to emotions. And then the aesthetical side. Again, John this morning pointed out how we should appreciate the wonderful cities, for instance, all the beauty. And there is a lot of beauty in the media. You create a lot of beauty in your media ministries. There is a lot of beauty in films from Hollywood that are never intended to glorify God. But all beauty stems from the fact that the Creator has created us in His image with a possibility of creating beauty. So why is this so wonderful, so nice? Talk about that. And talk about values. Learn to discover what is communicated as true, what is communicated as good, what is communicated as beautiful, and the opposite. Actually, I'm sure, sorry about the time here, I'm sure you have a lot to share from your experience sitting down with tweens talking about these things. What's actually going on here? What do you think about it? Worldviews? Remember a nephew of mine, age 8 at the time, came to me saying, "Auntie Morgan, this is a bit strange. You know, in school we have in one page a quote from the Quran and a quote from the Bible. And it looks as if both are right. That can't be, can it?" No, it can't be. And it's just the same when we have a look at a film, for instance, The Life of Pi. It can't be that both Judaism, Hinduism, Islam, and Christianity is true. It can't be. Can it, Auntie? No, it can't. They get so much stimulation intellectually in school and so on, and we have to encourage that in our relationship to them, in our homes, in our churches, and evaluate. I don't dare to, but this is just a clip from the Camp Rock, where the whole entrance to the film is the main character singing, "I have to decide whom I want to be. There are so many choices. I have so many opportunities. I better choose who would I like to be." A wonderful starting point for a discussion with a tween, whether girl or boy. Who are you? How do you want to live your life? What's important? Where do you come from? You see? Building bridges. But it's a balance. Of course it is. Due to all the falsehood, all the tension, we always need to be aware of the balance. But we can't ignore what's going on. We should rescue, root, and release. But then we have to reach them first. And Lars, having a PhD about the Acts 17, is so keen for us to use that as a model. And I fully agree with you, Lars. Acts 17 as a model. From points of contact to points of tension. We have to use that model when dealing with tweens, not just with students, as we usually do. Commending and justifying why we believe in one God and one Lord, that is the biblical worldview, and then also have the courage to identify points of tension. Back home in Norway, there is so much focusing on dialogue, dialogue, dialogue. We need to figure out what we agree on. Of course, we have to start there, but if we end there, we are not true to our calling. Is that the same in your respective countries and churches? I think there is a danger for all of us. Because what is important is to bear in mind that we want them to mature. Those who have actually had the privilege of being risen in a Christian family, being in a church, we want them to grow as Christians so that they can say, as Lucy, when she approaches Aslan, do you remember this incident? She asked, you have grown, Aslan, you have grown. No, I haven't. Oh, but you look bigger. Well, that's because you have grown, Lucy. For every year that you grow, I become bigger to you. I'm sorry, it's not a direct quote, but the meaning is the same. And that is what we want the tweens to realize, that when they mature year by year, Jesus becomes bigger for them. They realize more who he is, Lord and Savior. And in order to do that, in order to be true to our calling, we need this double listening to what's going on in the media messages and what corresponds and what is in tension with what the Bible says. And that is why in the very end here, I have on point 6 says the key elements of trust, the need for common criteria of dignity and discipline. We need to build relationship and trust. We need to respect, appreciate, not standing above them, but walk alongside them. And key approaches, I've just dotted down Paul and Timothy in my notes. Paul and Timothy. We need to model an approach to the media characterized by integrity, flexibility, and interactivity, like Paul and Timothy. And therefore, challenging questions and honest answers, Francis Schaeffer, give honest answers to honest questions. I hope we all are small Francis Schaeffers. And trying to listen carefully, what is really the question? And not starting us answering until we have grasped what is this teenager or this tween really wondering about? And explore, give space to young people to explore with this as the key thing. Reach, rescue, root, and release so they can mature in their Christian faith. I said in the beginning that I would like us to have responses as we went along. Well, we are here, and you haven't had the chance without saying, yeah, I have a question, but now is the time. What is the most challenging in your part of the world or in your ministry regarding the tween area? The Eastern Europe? I'm keen to hear what's going on there. I know it's quite westernized, quite Hollywood.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
Do we have in Norway something like a law which put the responsibility on secular channels to broadcast programs for children?
We have a national channel, NRK, National Radio and Television Broad Government. And,
equivalent to BBC. Okay.
That's right. And over the years, the number of programs geared towards kids has really risen. So what I find very intriguing there is that, for instance, the way families are being portrayed is so in line with a postmodern view of what a family is like. And we just had a discussion a couple of months ago in the newspapers regarding how authority is being portrayed in programs on the national run channel towards young people, because authority is absent. It's all you choose what's good for you. If you feel like it, do it. So it's so postmodern. But we have a lot of programs geared towards that age group, yes. And of course, we have all these opportunities to get it directly from the US and from other parts of Europe. And I suppose that's the same with you, isn't it? Yeah, the Disney. I just realized that there is a professor in Canada working on how Disney is getting more and more global and more determined to portray a certain worldview. And what worldview? What is the key thing? Individualism, and of course relativism. I would so much wish that we in the West had offered help to grasp with these things to you who come from the eastern part of Europe. But we need help from you, I think. That's the thing. Or Radhika, what do you think? Sorry, you first.
Because we in Ukraine, as a Nova Media Christian Journalists Association, for the last 2 years, we begin to promote this idea, to organize several events for the producers of children content.
Oh, that's wonderful news, because we are quite desperate for having more creative Christian people who would like to go in there and use the media geared towards young people, not and even younger than tweens. There aren't that many, Lars. Would you fill in the picture here?
There have been some creative, solid Christians as part of the NRK, the Movement of NBC, working with them, creating stories with good content for everyone. Not with explicit Christian content, but with, you know, upbuilding, so sort of good values and so on.
But we have one wonderful guy. He has set up his own ministry, Jan Le Valdemar. I'll make sure that you get contact information with him. He produces videos that goes all over Norway into homes that wouldn't say, oh, we have a Christian family, but we have baptized, we have had our kids baptized, and therefore we would like some Christian values. Mm-hmm. So he is the one.
Well, that's an independent media ministry.
I'll take the
Yeah, it's lovely.
This is one way of because like John said, it's one click away.
Yeah.
Do the click or not do it. Yeah. And ultimately, it's in your head. You have the control. And decide from there what to do with your time and with everything. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to necessarily try to solve the problem by creating a counter content. Before we can provide enough content that can compete, we have to educate and see how we can control what there is out there.
Yeah. And that boils down to, it's both and it boils down to the need for media literacy.
Exactly.
And I'm so glad that Lausanne Movement has pinpointed this now. It's global, it's European, it's for us. Media literacy from a Christian perspective. Time is just about up, but one more question.
You can limit everything, but once they go to Torrent Bay or Pirate Bay or whatever website is, there's no limit there. Because I think that's more dangerous than the TV.
And the question about pirating and so on, I realized the same in Peru, Arequipa, you know, and also when I went traveling to other parts of Peru. It was all over. So we need helping each other and helping the younger generation, equipping them to evaluate. That's the key thing. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Margaret.
Well, thank you.